Together we're sharing our experiences through life, providing a raw and honest perspective on motherhood.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 7 of Mama Said What, with me, Talia.
And me, Remy.
Hello everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. This week is a very special one because it's Talia's birthday week. She's hitting the big 3-0. How are you, birthday girl?
I've told you to tell everyone I'm 26.
No, you're big 30. Don't run away from it.
I Googled today if you can change your passport age, but you can't.
Nah, life starts at 30.
What's that saying? 30, firsty and thriving. Is it that? I don't know. There's a saying.
I have no idea. Dirty
30,
no.
Oh, that's it. 30, flirty and thriving, not thirsty. Well, funny.
There you are.
That's what they say.
How's the birthday celebrations been?
We went out on the weekend, me and the girls. They booked this restaurant called Victor's, and it's got like a DJ in and stuff. It was really nice, like a really classy restaurant. And then we just went into town and had a few drinks, went to the big market again. I cannot deal. So funny. And then, yeah, I just went home. Like, I didn't want to overdo it because I just thought, nah, I've got the kids the next day. It's not worth it. Like, I'm not just going to celebrate once for my 30th. Obviously, I want to go on holiday in the summer. So, you know. Yes. It was nice. It was just nice to go out of like, because obviously I went out a few weeks before, didn't I, with like the Wild Girls, and this was kind of like the more,
tame.
I don't know. The tamer girls, and, you know, they're married and all got partners. And yeah, so like, oh, it was like the tamer girls, which was nice. It wasn't wild like the other weekend, but the food was beautiful. And yeah, we just had a few like cocktails, a few drinks and a dance, and then just went home.
Perfect. That sounds like the perfect night. I honestly, they're the best nights. Just good company, nice food, a few cocktails, and not too late, because parenting with a hangover is hellish.
Yeah, vile. I got in about, I think, 2:30 or something like that. But I'm ignoring about going out because I just felt like crap. Like, I've still not got over like this cold, like constant sneezing, cough, sore throat. And, you know, it was raining as well. And I just thought, oh, like, I just, you know, and it just puts you in that mood. But as soon as I had my makeup done, I felt so much better. I was like, I needed this. And
that's
went
amazing.
Out. Thank you.
You look so good. I was gutted I couldn't be there.
Yeah, like, and do you know what? The girls that I went out with just are so nice, and we just had such a laugh. And even that Victor's, that restaurant in Newcastle, it's just so nice. Like, I've never been in there before, and it's like everyone gets really dressed up, and like it's an older crowd, if you know what I mean. It's not like I don't feel like old in there, because obviously most clubs are full of like 18-year-olds.
Yeah, you get shocked when you go out now. You see, like, how young it is. It makes you feel 30.
Stop it. So funny, because we went into the big market in one of the clubs, and I actually got ID'd, and I was like, I'm celebrating my 30th today. He was like, I don't care, I want to see your ID, I don't think you're 30. And I was like, well, I'm not 30 yet, I'm nearly 30. And then he looked at my ID and he was like,
I made you wear a 30 sash.
No, Tanya did get me a sash and a headband, and I was like, absolutely not, hun. It didn't say 30 on it, to be fair, but I didn't wear it. But the bloke didn't believe me that it was my 30th. Does that make me feel good?
Cool. You can tell you're turning 30. You're yawning it.
I just can't do it anymore. Like, I cannot deal with it. Like, even having like a few drinks, like, I suffer for days on end, and I actually feel like so tired and just like, I don't know, just knackered.
Yeah, well, we're not big drinkers, are we? So it probably hits us harder if we do have a drink.
I know, and the girls are getting like chucked and stuff.
Oh, Christ. Right, peak and pit of the week, Talia. Go for it.
My pit of the week is I'm turning 30. And I know, I do feel really sorry for myself, but it is what it is. And my peak of the week is... Oh, well, I had a shoot today, like an eyelash for an eyelash brand. So that was quite fun.
You had a trip to London as well, didn't you, for work? That was so
that was last week, yeah.
Last week.
So yeah, work's doing really well. It's just I feel like I'm at the point where I've got to try and learn to balance my life better because there's not many hours in the day and I feel like I've got to work, I'm on Zooms, I've got phone calls, I've got to speak to agents, I've got to speak to brands, and I feel like it's, and also look after the kids and cook and clean, and it's like there is not enough days, not enough hours in the day to do all this. I think people look at social media and they think, oh, they don't really work, they don't really do much, and it's like they don't realize what goes into it. Yeah, just been full on, but I'm grateful that I can be a mum and work at the same time. What was your pit and peak of the week, Rem?
My pit and peak of the week. My pit has been that JJ has been so unwell and it's been so scary. And yeah, it's just been like a horrific week, really. Josh is obviously away training, so I'm solo parenting, and solo parenting with an ill child is no joke, which I obviously know that you do on a daily basis, which I applaud you for, because it is just such a scary thing, isn't it, when they're unwell and doctors don't know. And I actually want to thank social media in a massive way again, because I put up a post like once everything was stable about like trusting your mum's instinct, and the amount of messages I had saying this happened to me or this horror story happened to me, and I was just like, this is like, it's so scary that these things happen and can go unnoticed. Like the amount of times I went to the doctors 4 times saying something's not right, I know it's not right. He was like whimpering in pain, like sort of sounded like a puppy when he was sleeping. And I kept taking it back. They were like, there's nothing wrong. It got to the day that the whole thing sort of erupted. That day I went to the doctors and they told me to send him back to school and said there's absolutely nothing wrong with him, and basically called me a hypochondriac, in other words, and that I need to stop overthinking. And it was that day he then collapsed and got really poorly, like really quickly.
What did they say was wrong with him?
Honestly, it's still like a whole unknown thing. We had a consultant's appointment today and he's had blood tests, so we're still getting to know. He's on like 2 different lots of antibiotics and they're treating him for an infection that could have gone into his bloodstream. But I just feel like you're a tick box exercise in hospital. And I'm not saying like the NHS is bad. We're very lucky to have the NHS, very, very lucky. But sometimes things can just feel like it's a bit of a tick box exercise. Like you go into hospital, you get blue lighted by an ambulance. As soon as they got his obs okay, it was sort of just like they disappear then. Like he's sort of okay in that room now. Like we've got his obs under control, but the only reason you've got them obs under control is because he was so dosed up on medication. So yeah, it just felt like I was banging my head against the wall a little bit. But like I said, the NHS are incredible. It's just, yeah, sometimes they
it
just
can be
don't
so like you feel like you're questioning yourself all the time. Like happened to me the other day with Oakley. Like I took him to hospital. I didn't post anything, but because I just thought, oh, like I can't be asked of like loads and loads of messages. But he pulls his peg out, so you know the feeding peg that's in his belly.
Yeah,
you obviously know what an NG is, but he's got one in his belly, so he pulls that out sometimes. And there's not many parents in the community that actually trained in putting it back in. So I did it. I put it back in, which you've got to blow it up with like 5 milliliters of water. So it's like a balloon in his stomach. So obviously imagine pulling that 5 milliliters of water in a balloon out of a tiny hole that's probably like the size of a 2p piece. Like it was obviously traumatic to the body. But they've trained me in putting it in. So I put it in. It was absolutely fine. And then a few days later, he started getting like, he went off his food. The peg just looked weird. I wasn't happy. So I called like one of the community team and said like, can you come and check it? Like, I know I've done it right, but it just doesn't look right. And he's acting a bit weird. Like he's gone off his food. He's just a bit sweaty. And she come and looked and she was like, no, I think he's absolutely fine. You've put it in amazingly. Like, don't worry. You know, he might just be coming down with something. And I was like, right, okay, well, why is it red? And she was like, oh, probably because he's pulled it out. So anyway, I then, 2 days later, I wasn't happy. So I took him to A&E, and my friend's a nurse in A&E, so we got seen straight away, but it wasn't a point. I was still fuming. So I went there, and he looked like he had a big blister underneath it. And they basically said that he had granulation. So basically, when you've got like a, your body does something, like you've got a wound, like he used to get granulation on his head, it can cause granulation. And she was like, it must have just been the trauma of obviously pulling the belly out. So they took his peg out, put a new one back in, and then was still like, I said, I think there's an infection there. And then she was like, no, I don't think it's infected. And the community team said it wasn't infected either. I said, no, I still think it is. Like, he's gone off his food. He's very sweaty. He hasn't got a temperature, but it just doesn't look right. So, yeah, they changed the peg, put a new one in. And I said, I want you to swab it. And they were like, oh, we don't need to swab it. It doesn't look infected. I said, I want it swabbed. I'm not leaving until it's swabbed. So anyway, they swabbed it. And then they sent me home with, like, some cream and, like, to try and, like, get the granulation down. And then a few days later, the hospital phoned me and was like, oh, Oakley swab come back, it's infected. And I was like, exactly. And it was like, I fucking knew, because he just wasn't acting right. So he's on antibiotics now. And then he's also got a cream to go around it. But sometimes you just got to, you know, your kid, even though, yeah, they've got more brain cells than us, because obviously they're doctors and nurses and whatever, surgeons, they don't always know your child. And
100%. Yeah, and this is what my argument was when I then contacted the GP after. It's not the fact that the GP has made a mistake and misdiagnosed anything. It's the fact that she was making me feel crazy, which was what my problem was. Like, I completely get it. Sometimes things are left undiagnosed for longer than you'd wanted it to, or some things just, you know, doctors aren't perfect either, and you can't expect them to be, but just don't make the mum feel crazy. Like, I wasn't a hypochondriac. I wasn't overthinking about my baby. He was unwell, and I knew he wasn't unwell in my gut. And she made me feel crazy for it. So that was what I was more cross about. But yeah, like you said, you know best, and you done the right thing and put your foot down until Oakley got what he needed to get. But yeah, that was definitely a big pit of my week. But yeah, I didn't have huge amounts of peaks this week. My peak is surviving the week. And yeah, just being, you know, when you just have one of those weeks, you're like just survival mode. It's one of those weeks. But
I think when you're out of routine for a few days as well, like, it makes you think, it when you're out of routine for a few days, it like fucks it for the rest of the week.
It really does. It really does. And like, even though, you know, I was with Jay, and then I was feeling guilty because then, like, I was just not even thinking about Roman. Like, my mum was incredible and came and helped straight away and had Roman for me and was like getting him sorted for preschool and stuff. But then you feel guilty, don't you, that you've not even like sort of thought about it, like, how was his day at school and stuff. I was just in the moment with Jay, and yeah, it was just one of those weeks. But new week, and I feel super positive, so
good. We have got some questions here. So I'm going to read the first one, Rem. Hi, girls. Loving the podcast. How do you feel about turning 30? It's my turn in a few months, and I'm feeling so anxious about it. I know how crazy I sound, but it generally scares me. Anyone else feel like this, or is it just me? Erin from Brighton. First of all, Erin, what's your surname? Because I'm from Brighton. I'm not from Brighton, but I live in Brighton. No, you're not crazy. I feel so like about it. And I probably sound dramatic as well, but I just think for a woman, it's so like, not that I think there's loads of things to think about. I think like with, you know, some women, like they don't have children by 30 and they would like to have 30 and they think, oh, you know, there's time ticking and things like that. Where for me, obviously I've had kids, so it's not that. I think it's more like, I'm single and I've got four kids, and that's kind of like most people are in healthy relationships or healthy marriages, or, you know, and I'm just kind of like, well, I'm not. So I think it's that. But then also, like, I don't know, I just think it's really hard for a woman when you hit 30. It's quite emotional. Obviously, Rem, you're not 30 yet. So, like, how do you think you would feel if it was like you're, you know, coming up 30?
I generally think my life will be starting at 30. I think I'm going to get a new lease of life at 30. I really do. It doesn't make me anxious at all. Like, it really doesn't. I know, obviously, each their own. But yeah, I feel like my life is going to get a new lease of life at 30. So yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I think
maybe
as well,
my
tune
will change when I turn 30, but
yeah, I bet it does. I never used to think I'd be bothered by it. And then also, like, I just think, you know, when I was at school and my mum would be like, oh, like, I'm 31, I'm 32. I used to think, oh, you're well old. And then now I'm like, I'm 30. Like, ugh. Horrible.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. Well, I think, Erin and Talia, you should be positive that you're probably both beautiful girls having the most fun of your life. And, yeah, I don't know, your 30s are just the beginning of you both.
Let's hope so.
I think so.
I sound well depressed on this podcast today. I'm just fuming. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Both of us are like such Debbie Downers this week. We need to like upbeat it. Right. We've got a second question. Hey, guys. Firstly, happy birthday, Talia. I followed your story and it's so nice to see you seem so happy. My question is, do you guys make birthday resolutions of what you want to do or achieve for the year? And what are they? From Susie.
I've never heard of that before. I've not done that before. The thing is, I can't keep to my New Year's resolutions, let alone I'm trying to add some more into the mix. So, no, I've not done that before. But I might have a think about that tonight. I'll become a new woman.
No, I haven't done birthday resolutions. I've done like New Year resolutions, but maybe birthday resolutions is quite a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I might have a think about it tonight.
Like 24 hours.
Do I? I don't think it's 24 hours, hun. It's like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh.
Oh my God.
You've got 3 hours.
So silly. No, it's not 3 hours, is it? Well, I don't know actually what time I was born, so I need to find that out from my mum.
But yeah, that's a really good idea, Susie. I think I would definitely do that. Is there anything you want to achieve this year or do, Talia?
Do you know what? It's really annoying, but when I say this, because I just feel like I act so down about it, but I just can't. I just want to get Oakley surgeries this year out the way and make sure that he pulls through before I think about anything else. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's at the front of my mind constantly. Like, this next surgery is going to be absolutely horrific, where I can't think. Like, I would love to say, I want to take my kids on holiday. I would love to say, like, you know, things that I feel like I know is not going to happen.
You feel like you can't look past that until that's
done. No, I can't. And that sounds really bad, but that's the truth. Like, I can't get past that bit. And it's not because I'm like being depressive about it, but it's more like it's such a huge surgery that he's got coming up in May that I generally can't look past that, and I just want him to just be strong through it. So yeah, I've not really thought about what else can happen. It's more just, you know, I feel like I've moved house, so that's one thing that I definitely don't need to do. You know, I'm working.
I feel like you've accomplished loads. Yeah, you've accomplished loads already in this year. And I think for you now, it is literally your focus is getting Oakley as strong as he needs to be, get him through the surgeries, and then, you know, like, just keep up what you're doing. Like, you've achieved so much. You've moved house to your second home, actually, with you and the kids, and you work so hard. So I feel like, yeah, Oakley is the priority this year and getting him fit and healthy.
And like, he is doing amazing, don't get me wrong, but this next surgery is horrific. And there's a lady that I speak to, her little boy is the same age as Oakley and he's got Apert syndrome. We met on the Facebook. No, she reached out to me actually on Instagram. And I think he's like 2 months younger than Oakley, and he's just had Oakley surgery that Oakley's due. And just, she sent me some photos and stuff, and it's just, you know, the baby looks amazing and he's doing amazing. He's so strong, but it's just like, it's just really, really panicked me. even more than I was. And it's just, yeah, I think it's just hard trying to get past that part.
Well, so I believe he's gonna be the strongest little boy, like he always is. What has been your most memorable birthday, for good or bad reasons?
I would say, wow, the last, do you know what's funny? I wasn't pregnant last year. So that was quite sad because I was kind of like on my own. It was my first birthday of my own. Obviously, I was with the kids' dads for like 5 or 6 years. So, you know, it was my birthday on my own again. And like, I don't know, it was just quite, I was in, not in a good place, was I, Rem? Like, whatsoever, like mentally, even physically, like I wasn't eating much. Like, I just felt like I had no energy. So I feel like that was a really, really bad one. But then obviously when I was pregnant with Romeo and Maddox, it was both my birthdays I was bloody pregnant on. So with that, you know what it's like, it's just, you just want a load of chocolate and sleep. So I don't really 100%. Have a really good, actually my 16th birthday, my mum done a themed party. It was a like dress fancy dress thing. And everyone had to dress up, and I dressed up as Tinkerbell for my 16th. Obviously, it was like a slightly Tinkerbell.
Aww. Oh my God. Talia.
What's funny?
Slutty Tinkerbell.
Well, that's what, like, everyone had, like, the rah-rah skirts and all that. So funny. So, yeah, that was quite good because all my family come down from London. My mum and dad were together at that time. So, like, it was just a huge family event. And, yeah, that was really good. That was my only, like, big birthday party that I've ever had. And I don't like things like that. So I've never done, like, a big party thing. Like, even last weekend, that was quite a big thing for me, even though it was, you know, like Tanya said, it was like a little surprise thing. She told me that she's inviting my friends and asked for some numbers, but I didn't know who was going to be there, where we were going or anything. She just told me to get my makeup done and, you know, get a nice outfit. But I just wouldn't like a huge attention thing. Like, I couldn't do like a big 30th where you're like a big actual party, you know, like a proper party. That's why I wanted to go on holiday for my birthday, like with the girls for a few nights in the summer, because a party for me is just an absolute no-go.
Yeah, you don't really like that center of the attention vibe, do you?
No, like that's why I
spoke like, about weddings and stuff.
No, I just couldn't do it, Rem. Like, I just think I'm too much. I think I'm quite socially awkward. And I have like my people who I feel comfortable around and people that I talk to, but I still don't feel comfortable around them. I talk to them because, well, probably I have to. But I couldn't have that whole party thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't have time 100%. To speak to a lot of people constantly and then to like have an actual party where they can all come to and I'm going to actually have a full-blown conversation with them or dance with them. Like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm not one for like big parties or birthdays, really. I mean, I've had a few. I'd done a big joint one with my dad. We've done like a Great Gatsby theme. That was unreal. And then I had a huge like 12th birthday. It was like a sweet 16, but I was 12. My dad used to love throwing parties and we used to live in a house and it had quite a lot of like land because we had horses at the time. And we'd done like this huge party in the garden and it was like a catwalk. And my dad was working with Topshop at the time and like Topshop done outfits for like the whole year. Of like things, we've done like a catwalk. We had like Spice Girls tribute. That literally, I thought they were Spice Girls. It was unbelievable. So then we were like,
"What Spice Girl was you?"
I'm going for Posh Spice.
You were Posh Spice.
Yeah.
Stop it! I would say more Scary Spice.
Fuck off, Scary Spice.
I was always Baby Spice, hun.
I knew you were gonna say Baby Spice. So, yeah, we had the Spice Girls and we were just all singing Spice Girls in these little Topshop outfits and it was unbelievable. It was definitely the best birthday ever.
Oh, my God, that's really so funny. Saying that, you just reminded me. Like when it was my 13th, I did have, like, a kind of a party thing. My mum and dad organised a limousine and then it took, like, us from my house to then like this restaurant called Smith and Weston. It was in Chichester. It's like a cowboy type restaurant. And we all went for food and then back home in the limousines. Like we all thought we were really cool. But it was like,
don't you think limos were like a huge thing back in the day? Like I'd done limos for a few birthdays where you'd literally all hang out the window and literally thought you were like the biggest celebrities ever.
Oh, I know. You don't see them anymore.
You don't. I used to see like baby pink ones. Like you used to see them loads.
Yeah, you don't see them anymore.
So funny.
You used to love a limo. Aww.
So did I. That's a good idea for Sienna.
She's just, I gave her the option for a limousine on her last birthday for a 10th because obviously double digits.
Party bus.
But then she had the party bus because obviously the party bus, she could have had more people, where the limousine, you're so limited. So she.
And to be fair, party buses are like the new in thing now. She can actually like get up and dance. Like limousines, like you sort of sat down, aren't you? They're not really like get up and dance kind of vibe.
No. So she did have the option for that. But yeah, I just couldn't do. And I feel like you're like me where we kind of like, I like to make someone else's birthday special than actually like having the attention on me. Like when I was obviously with the kid's dad, like I used to do huge things for him. Like the balloons were all over. He had a cake. He had loads of presents. He had banners. He had like, you know, you do like the full works, don't you? And I prefer to make other people like get that feeling than actually me. Get that feeling about feeling like that special. Like I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you can tell when the mum's getting ready for like the birthday the night before, can't you? It's that tablecloth on the thing, birthday confetti everywhere, balloons everywhere. You wake up, it's your birthday, and like, don't get me wrong, it's lovely and it's beautiful, but you can tell the difference with a mum and a mum.
Actually,
dad.
I remember actually ordering one of my presents. So that's funny.
Oh my god.
I really really wanted this bag, and then like the kid's dad was like, right, you can have the bag. So he was like, well, you're gonna have to order it though. Like obviously he gave me the money for it, but I ordered it, and then like the present come and I was like, can I open it? And he was like, no, you can't open it. I was like, but I ordered it, so what difference does it make? So, like I actually ordered my own present.
Oh my god, stop. That's one thing I get. Like Josh is great at like surprises, and he is quite good at like presents. Like you could go to a shop and get the right thing, you know, because some men aren't that great at that.
No,
100%
they're not.
Yeah, he does always get like the good stuff. Like on Christmas, like my stuff will all be like surprises, and he smashes it every year. So
that's because I give him
10 stars for that. Send him a list.
I don't really.
You're his personal shopper.
Yeah, I'll just say get her this.
Should we go into some of the dilemmas, girls?
Yes.
So let's get started. Hey, girls, loving the podcast. I have a little story/dilemma I need help with. I have had the same hairdresser for the past 3 to 4 years. I've not had the best luck when it comes to hairstylists. And have finally found the most amazing stylist. He gets it right every single time, and I leave feeling $1 million. However, he's a straight male, and I'm finding myself really falling for him. He's so chatty and fun, and we definitely have a connection and a little flirt. I don't know if he feels the same as me and just doesn't want to be unprofessional by asking me out, or is he just doing his job and is like this with all of his clients? I see him every 6 to 7 weeks for 4 hours a time. How do I find out if he's interested in me without making it awkward? I don't want to lose him as my hairdresser, but could this be something? Help me.
Aww. It's definitely his job, hun.
What? Tell you, that's so mean.
No, that it's definitely his job. It's like that's what hairdressers and like nail people, Botox people, like that's the point. They're supposed to like entertain the client. Like you can't just sit there and do the hair in silence. Like he's obviously just being nice. She should add him on Instagram and then see what happens from there. Like if she's not got him on like a personal Instagram and it's just a business one, and then see what happens from that. But personally, I do think it probably is just the fact that that's his job.
You're so horrible.
Oh, let's hear what you've got to say then. Come on, Mrs. Love.
I just feel like No, if she feels like she's got a connection in there, I don't think, like, you know, it's their job to be nice. Like, I've been to hairdressers and it's their job to be chatty and nice and stuff, but she feels some sort of connection. So, I mean,
is she not looking into it though? Like, because he's being nice and asking questions, because that's their job. Remember, you sit in the hairdressers, like, I get my hair coloured right, and I sit there for like 5 hours getting it coloured with the weave taken out, the weave put back in. Bethan sits there, my hairdresser, we just talk pure shite, because obviously you're there for 5 hours and it's better than sitting there awkward.
I know, 100%. I'm not saying that you have to sit there in pure silence, but I've had my hair done by a male before and don't feel a connection towards him because I'm sat there for 4 hours. I also don't feel like he's flirting with me, and I also don't feel like, I don't know, fancy the pants off of him. I feel like if she obviously feels a connection for him, they have a little flirt. Like, a little flirt is more than having a conversation for 5 to 4 hours. His job isn't to flirt with women.
Well, it could be part of it.
I think Tally has been really negative. I think
add him on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe find out like his Instagram or his Facebook or whatever it is that he may be on, and
yes, see if he directs. That's a good one.
Yeah, and see if he messages you and go from there. Because like you said, he could feel awkward. Like, he's not going to want to ask her on a date, and I don't know. She say no, and then it's his hairdresser. Like, I don't know. It's all just, that can be a bit awkward. So I definitely find him on something, and if it's meant to be, and he does have feelings, then he'll maybe give you a message.
Keep pulling your weave out, hon. Then you've got to keep getting it restitched in if you've got a weave.
Can you pull it out? Yeah. I bet she's like gagging to get back to that hairdresser's after 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a nice story. Well, good luck. And I'd love to hear back from you. Hopefully, it'll be like 6 weeks' time.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely try and find him on Facebook or Instagram and see where it goes. But don't give up.
Don't slide into the DMs. Sure. Do not slide into the DMs first. Just follow and then see what happens.
Why not?
I don't know. I think it's a good idea, just because then you'll sheer see if he starts liking her photos, or if he messages first, like, sheer see then.
Can't she just, yeah, I know, but will he then still feel that awkwardness in messaging her first?
No, because if she if she finds him on like Facebook and it's quite personal, then I think that's enough.
Yeah, true.
I think that's enough.
Very true.
Shall I read the next one? Hey girls, yes. It wouldn't let me write in your story. We always have that trouble, Rem. I think because it only gives you a certain amount of characters to write in it. But got a good dilemma. Where do I begin? I have endometriosis. So I started a group chat on here with other females, and it's a safe place for ladies to talk about their endo turnout. One of the girls in the group was actually a man behind a fake account chatting the whole time to us ladies.
Oh my God. That's so really basically perverted.
She's gotten him in endometriosis group. There's girls chatting, and they find out that there's actually a man behind a fake account. That's just trying to be a woman. Weird.
I find that really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would, especially because like endometriosis, obviously, it's quite an emotional thing, as well as it being like, you know, some of these women, I guarantee, are trying to fall pregnant and they've got endometriosis. Some women may have kids and are going through the pain of the endometriosis. There's a lot of stuff that's emotional, also, not just like.
But what's he trying to gain from that chat? Because it's not really like anything sexy going on in that conversation that he's going to be like, oh, like there's no. So there's no like. I don't know. There's nothing for.
He's probably hoping
male.
Girls are sending photos in.
I don't know how I feel about that. Like, could he be trying to find out some information to support someone he knows that has it, and he's joined that chat as a girl, trying to find more information to then help someone he knows? I don't know. Or it's a funny one, that one.
I just find it weird.
That's a really, yeah, I don't know. That's
I find it quite weird.
Uncomfortable one.
Especially for women, like a lot of women don't like speaking about it because it is quite an emotional thing. It's painful. Like there's so many different like symptoms of endometriosis that you can have. And it's quite like, not embarrassing, but some of the stuff that you have, it may be, you know, you can't speak to a man about. And then for a man to be in that, I think that's quite, I don't know, just not on.
100%. 100%.
Because obviously you've got to remember, like, some of these periods, some of the periods you get with endometriosis and stuff like that are absolutely shocking. And some women find that quite, like, are quite prude to talk about things like that. So I think that's quite disrespectful to women, to be fair, if, like, he's in there pretending, like, that he's a woman, he's got this. Like, that's just...
And then I feel like if he was doing it in an innocent manner that he's trying to help someone, he was best joining and saying, like, I'm a male, but my wife or my whoever it is, like, has this and I just wanted some advice on it and then I can, like, sort of unjoin the group or something like that. So the fact that he hasn't done anything like that, he's pretending to be a gal, going along with the conversations, is just really uncomfortable, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't get... Like you said, I don't get what he's gaining out of it. There's nothing sexy about the conversation. There's nothing, you know, that would turn on a man as such. So, yeah, I think that's a really
weird,
really uncomfortable one. But
weird.
Thank you so much.
Block him.
And anyone that does, does suffer of that. I think the page is called Endo Journey, is it, that wrote in? So if you do suffer... They're a little community full of people in the same situation. So definitely give them a follow.
God, that bloke needs to be blocked, though. That's pure perverty, that.
Hi, advice needed. My daughter is one. I split with her dad when I was pregnant. He's never consistently been in her life or supported her. She has constant hospital trips and he's never been to one. He constantly lets her down on days and never sticks to when he's meant to see her. He now hasn't seen her for over a month, but because I've said no to him coming to my home to see her, he is saying it's me making it hard work and not allowing a bond between them. He's been texting saying he misses her extra. Am I in the wrong for not allowing him around my house? But when he has in the past, he just sits on his phone and he doesn't help me. I'm just at a point of wondering whether to just cut him out completely. It breaks my heart, but I've tried for a year to get him to be a dad to her and he hasn't. What else can I do?
It's really hard stuff like that or listening to stuff like that because I'm sure a lot of women can relate to that. In my eyes, like when you've split up, it should be the kids spending time with the mum and kids spending time in the mum's home and then also in the dad's home. It shouldn't be like confusing the kids where they come to one home. Like, I don't know. It's just very separate, I think, but you can't force someone.
I've always said this. Yeah. I've always said this to you, haven't I? I've always said to you, it's so hard to find a balance. Obviously I'm not in that situation. And Talia has been through like, I say like a similar situation, you know, it's going from a broken family. It's so difficult. And it's so difficult to set boundaries between the partner and then them seeing the kids. And I think that is a huge, huge difficult thing, isn't it? When you first split, because it's easy for them to say, oh, can I just pop over and I'll do bath time? And I'm like, I feel like it's just confusing the kids. So I completely understand why you can't. But then for him to throw it back to you that he will then not see the child is, I don't know, it's a hard one. But yeah, Talia is probably, you go for a bit more advice of what you would do.
I don't know. I just find it, every family dynamics are so different. Like I've got a friend, I'm not going to say where, I'm not going to say who, but I've got a friend that works full time. Now her and her partner split up about 3 years ago. They've got a couple of kids together and like he lives back with his family and she's got her own home. Like she private rents her own home, she works full time, you know, she earns a good wage, and yet he doesn't provide for the children whatsoever. And you know, the grandparents don't want the children at their house when the father's trying to spend time with them. So her only option is to say, right, okay, well, when you have the children, you can have them at mine, because she wants, like, the dad to be a dad. And, but yet he just swans in the house and he'll just, like, go and make some food and, like, treat it like it's his home. And yet they've split up. But then when she actually does need help, like, oh, one of the kids are poorly, but I still need to go to work, can you help me? He's nowhere to be seen. Or, you know, he doesn't contribute to the children, like, financially. And I just think people do think, like, some females and males think that whoever's got the children majority of the time, that they don't have to pay towards them and they don't have to help. Like, no, like, it needs to be a two-way thing. Like, you both decided to have children, like, you need to work as a team. But yeah, like, my friend is going through a similar situation. And, like, I've told her, like, she needs to just say, like, you see the kids, that, like, you take them to your mum and dad's house, or you get your own place. Like, you're a grown man, get your own place, and then you can have the children on set days and you have them there. But I just find it really difficult to listen to something like that when a friend's going through similar, because it's just, it's heartbreaking for the 100%. Kids as well.
And, like, she's going back up to her message. She says, is she wrong for not allowing him around the house? Because when he has done in the past, he just sits on his phone and doesn't help. So it feels like she has felt like she's given him endless amounts of, you know, endless amounts of tries at doing it, and it still, you know, isn't living up to it. So he's using the fact that he can't come to her house is making him not be able to see the little girl. But then obviously when he does, he's on his phone. So she probably feels frustrated with the whole thing. But obviously at the end of that also, Talia, she says, should she just cut him out completely? But then obviously she feels sad, because that, I feel like maybe cutting him out completely now is a bit too much. Like, she's the only one, isn't she? And it is nice to try and save that father relationship, but maybe you've just got to be a bit harder and say, like, look, this isn't going to work. We need to find a way that it is going to work. And maybe he just sees her in the daytime for now and takes her out for a couple of hours and then drops her back to you. Like, I don't know, take her to a soft play, or take her to a park, or take her for a coffee, or just a walk even, to give you like an hour even for now, just out of your house. If you can't have her overnight somewhere, maybe for now, try something like that. Would you suggest, Talia?
Yeah, like, I think, like, there needs to be some sort of agreement there. Like, a mum needs a break too, and that's where, like, a lot of people forget that. Like, mums need even just to go food shopping without having children around them, or have a hot bath, or even, you know, 100%. At 1 year old, not all babies are sleeping through the night. Like, it's really, really tough. Like, Oakley doesn't sleep through the night all the time, and it's just, like, obviously he's on machines and stuff, which is different, but Maddox didn't sleep through the night. Romeo was a good sleeper, but Maddox didn't. He was up all the time. So, like, even that is just a huge thing, to even have that little bit of a break at night time now and again. And I just think, like, it's so hard to come to a happy medium when it comes to broken families, and it does take such a long time to be able to do that. And sometimes people have to go down, like, court routes. Some people have to go down through going, getting, you know, like, someone in the middle, like a mediator, like a family member, to be able to, like, do that. Like, sometimes it takes, like, different ways, yeah, to be able to try and get a happy medium with a broken family.
I don't think give up now. I think don't give up and cut everything off completely. Like Talia said, there's so many different ways you can hopefully solve it and get round it.
And keep us updated, because I'm sure a lot of people would benefit from stuff like that, actually.
Definitely. I think so many people can relate to it, can't they?
I love it when we get really, like, in-depth dilemmas like that. Like, not just, like, funny ones, but, like, ones that are, like, real life things that a majority of people, like, single parents are going through, like, you know, trying to get a happy medium in a family. Like, because obviously everyone just wants what's best for kids, but it's not always just as simple as that. So it's nice to get dilemmas and stuff like that involved.
I know. I feel like the dilemmas this week have been, some are really sad. And I feel like it's nice in a way that we are this platform and we can talk as mums in a little community together. And I think when we first started this, and first started talking about starting this, we wanted that, didn't we? We wanted like a safe place for mums to talk to. And it feels nice, doesn't it, really, that people can, you know, write what they're going through and send it to us and ask for advice and stuff and feel like it is helping or someone to talk to. So yeah.
And we always, nice, you know, if you ask us to keep us and keep it anonymous, we would never say a first and second name, but you know, like majority of the time we do keep it anonymous. So if you feel like you want to ask us questions, feel free to just DM us on our Mama Said What's Instagram and we will always respond or we will talk about it on the podcast and keep you anonymous. So don't be afraid to do that.
Definitely. And next week we promise to bring some laughter to the podcast.
Oh, I'm so depressed, guys. I'm so depressed.
I feel like it's been a little bit of a low one this week, but next week we'll be back with all the giggles, all the laughters, and maybe some updates on some icks, and let's get some like funny dilemmas and stories next week, and then go back onto some of the advice questions that we've been asked for this week and see how they're getting on. But guys, please follow us on our Instagram page at Mama Said What. We'll be putting up question boxes and DM us with anything, advice, dilemmas, and we'll be sure to talk about it on the podcast. And please download the podcast on Apple and Spotify because it makes a huge difference to us. And yes, we will be coming live very, very soon on YouTube as well. But keep them downloads because it means we'll be live sooner rather than later. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening.
That was brilliant. Do you want to take a breath now, hon? So obviously follow us on Patreon as well. So we have got a Patreon account. So please follow us on that, guys. Right, see you later.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.